welcome to Friends of the Force live at the Celebration Podcast stage. Woo! I'm your host, Sarah.
And I'm your host, Brad. And we are at Star Wars Celebration, everybody. 3 years.
Yes.
We've waited 3 years. And if you're here, it means we didn't get into the Lucasfilm showcase, but there's some pretty cool things that we're going to talk about today, because we were screaming about the Andor trailer for at least like 15, 20 minutes, and we watched it with like two groups of people for the first time, so it was great. It was great. So
I'm assuming you all know who we are. I hope so, but we are all about finding joy in fandom. We love the High Republic. We love Resistance. We love Star Wars. Did you know?
Okay, who here has listened to the podcast before? Raise your hand by show of hands. Okay,
thank
awesome.
You.
For those of you here for the first time, you will not be getting a refund, but that's okay. All right.
Yeah.
So
there are a couple of really big things that are happening right now as I'm speaking. And the first one is that tomorrow is our 3-year podcast anniversary.
Yeah. Pretty big deal.
The other one.
Who would have thought? Not me.
The other one is that this is the first time we are ever recording in person.
Yes.
I have never sat next to you and done this.
Yeah.
And we're here.
I know. I for a while I thought she was like an imposter. And I was just being like catfished on a podcast, and I was like,
I
gonna come to Celebration. She was like not even a real person, so
I was more concerned for myself.
Yeah. But we're both here and we're both real, so it's great.
Yes, and we have been talking about this celebration for 3 years now, since 2019. Who among us was one of those people that bought their ticket in July 2019, like myself? Okay,
yeah.
Great. So glad we all made it. None of us are dead. That's because I'm amazing. Love that for all of us. I just like don't know what to do with myself now that we're here. It's totally, I've never Ooh. Been
yeah.
to like the Anaheim Convention Center before, and it is wild.
Yeah, it's really big. It's I think it's bigger than Chicago, but yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good, because we spent about 34 combined hours at Disneyland the last 2 days, so our feet are ready to go here. It's gonna be
I'm
brutal.
I'm gonna say that again. 34 combined hours in the past 2 days.
Do not recommend. Although do recommend, because
there are 24 hours in a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was a bit chaotic, but like, what was Batuu like? You went to Batuu for the first time.
Oh.
I've been once before.
Yes, Batuu was great. We went to Oga's Cantina, so we got to party with DJ Rex, which
icon.
Do meet your heroes, actually. Fact, not cap. Fact. And we also had a waiter who we had like a Polaroid camera.
Yeah.
And we were taking photos, and we asked the waiter to take a photo of us, and he was like, "Oh, that looks pretty vintage. It must be from the High Republic." And we were like, "Oh." Same page.
I just about fell out of my chair. Like, talking about the High Republic in real life with other people who also know about the High Republic, like, what?
Yeah.
It's happening today. I don't know if any of y'all are going to be at the High Republic panel later, but we are. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very exciting. So, okay. Let's address the elephant in the room. Who watched the Andor trailer?
Who didn't know there was an Andor trailer? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Exactly as Lucasfilm intended. On your phone, on your smartphone. Can barely see, but it's okay. 360p quality, we're good.
Yeah, it stops halfway through because it's not loading.
Yeah, it literally kept buffering for us, and we were like, I want to see Diego, please. I need to see his face.
So the Andor trailer.
Yeah.
You know how we saw the Vanity Fair, article the other day?
Mm-hmm.
Mon Mothma, you guys.
Yeah, let's give it up. Let's give it up for Mon Mothma. Queen of fashion, you know, we've been missing Padme Amidala for so long, and like she had so many outfits during the prequel trilogy, and now like Mothma is kind of filling that spot in the year 2022, new queen of fashion. Like she has so many outfits already.
She's got
it's amazing.
Two separate outfits
two.
In this trailer.
Two.
I
and Fennec Shan only had one, which we need to change that, but we're really excited about Mon Mothma.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I mean, also Diego Luna, obviously.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Let Diego Luna touch Jabba. Like, that's just, it's a given. It's a given.
If there is not a episode where he touches Jabba the Hutt at the Tatooine Jabba's palace, I'll be very upset. I want a refund from Disney Plus.
I'm going to cancel my subscription.
Just cancel it.
Not really. We love Disney Plus right now, because we're going to get
we do.
Kenobi tonight.
Yeah.
But also today for some people.
Yeah.
Alex. Other people who are probably also just walking in.
So the big thing with Andor is it's going to be 12 episodes for season one, and then there's going to be a second season with another 12 episodes that they're filming this November, so it's moving fast. And they said that the show is going to go right into Rogue One.
It's terrifying.
Sad. I'm really excited for that, because that could mean maybe some cameos down the road and kind of create this little like Rogue One universe. Oh, man.
Bail Organa.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is one man in the whole universe, and his name is Bail Organa. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes I get a little cynical about cameos, but there's one cameo that I will quite literally never be cynical about. And you can put Bail Organa in everything, and I'd be like, yes, thank you. Like let Jimmy Smits be paid by Lucasfilm. Like, he deserves that.
It is the year of Jimmy Smits. He's here. It started with Into the Heights, to be fair, but now it's his year.
Yeah,
Into
the Heights.
We
support the Jimmy Smits supremacy.
We really do. Yeah. Okay, so what were some of your takeaways from the Andor trailer?
Okay, so the Andor trailer, what really stuck out to me was, like, the sound of it all. Like, right in the beginning, we're getting the guy who's up in the tower, like, I don't know what sort of instrument he's hitting, but it's making different tones, which is very cool. I would like to know more as a musical sort of person, but that was amazing and a great way to set the tone, and I was just obsessed with that. And it continues throughout the whole trailer. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those people that can often be like, not get excited about things until I actually see it or like know a lot about it. But I watched the Last Jedi trailer the first time when that came out, and I was doing CouchCon in 2017. And I was like, oh my God, if they do this right, this could be it for me. Like, this could be the thing.
It was.
And it was the thing, you know? And so like, I feel, I don't want to like hype myself up, but I feel like my intuition about the things that I'm going to enjoy is good. And this one really worked for me.
Yeah. I think the sound mixing of the trailer was pretty unbelievable. I'm also like not certain of what the time periods that we're in are, because it kind of seemed like there's a little bit of a mix of past and present, because we see some like shots of some children, which I'm wondering if that's like a baby Cassian, a young child Cassian, maybe when his like family's attacked by the separatists or something. So that could be pretty interesting if we get some flashbacks. Because we saw that with Mandalorian, like, you know, the little Din Djarin. So, that would be pretty cool if we get some flashbacks with his sister, too. I think his sister's in the trailer, I believe he has a sister or mentioned it at one point.
Yeah, okay.
Not ready for that.
What I loved also was, like, the fact that we are getting so many, like, townspeople, people who are just living their lives. Like, I think one of those incredible pieces of Rogue One was the fact that it felt so on the ground. And, mm-hmm. and like, it was kind of dark, and it got sad. Me sobbing in the theater. But it was about real people who are doing, like, you know, not like the big galaxy-saving pieces of it, but kind of the grunt work a little bit. And mm-hmm. I feel like we see a lot of pieces of, like, the early rebellion here. And that is nuts to me, but it also like totally confirms that Vanity Fair quote from Tony Gilroy, who's like, yeah, there are like 200 speaking characters in this season, and about 75 of those are important. I'm like, 75? That's so many people. So like, I think this is going to be just like a huge show, which is exciting.
I one of the biggest takeaways for me in the show, besides Mon Mothma, is Coruscant. We haven't seen Coruscant in like 17 years since Revenge of the Sith. And it's gonna be really cool to see Coruscant in the volume, like what they can do with that planet and like the new technology that we have. Like, can we go to new places that maybe we couldn't have 20 years ago? We're gonna see like new areas of Coruscant. We know like Cassian is sort of at odds with Mon Mothma, according to the Vanity Fair article. So they're not friends initially when the show begins. So, like, maybe he's sort of in the depths of Coruscant, like in the, you know, level 13, like way down where we've seen Ahsoka before during the Clone Wars. Like, those sorts of areas in live action, like, I want to see the underworld. And I think we could get that, which would be pretty, pretty sweet. Who's excited for Coruscant? Right? Right? The prequel kids are here to stay. The prequel adults are here to stay. Everybody loves the prequels.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick.
Correct. Absolutely. And yeah, we are. Yes, prequels for life, honestly. And, you know, it's cool that we live in a time when we can like the prequels and not be as embarrassed about it as we maybe were when they had come out and you would kind of get flack for it. But I feel like really now we can really unabashedly love it. And, you know, I'm ready to see Hayden and Ewan tonight on our TV screens. For those of you who are staying up till 2 a.m. in the morning, Godspeed. I'm with you there. We're with you there.
We are in that group as well.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, Coruscant. How excited are you for Coruscant? Because I know you love. We got the Senate. We got the Senate. We got a shot of Mon Mothma in the Senate.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
We should talk about Coruscant for 1 minute in the fact that we are writing Star Tours the other day.
Yeah.
And Star Tours is like the best ride in the whole world. It really is. It's quite magical. And it's random every time, right? Like, you're going to get different planets. You're going to get different cutscenes. And so we had gotten Kefbir and Crate twice in a row. And we were like, yay, Crate. Kefbir, not so fond of, but it's okay. And we were like, you know, third time's a charm. We're gonna go again. And we got the Rots, like, intro space battle. And then down into the streets of Coruscant, like the Zam Wessel sort of chase energy. And I was like, this is the greatest 3 minutes of my life.
Yeah.
Like, this is all I've ever wanted in the world.
Definitely peaked.
Yeah.
I thought I'd peaked before, like, but now
here's the thing, guys. We're on the downhill from that point. So I'm so sorry if this is just not our best podcast.
So it would have been a better panel like 3 days ago.
You know. We wouldn't have gotten the Andor trailer then, though.
Yeah,
so.
Very true.
From our friends who came from the various stages, how was the panel? Was this good? No, talk at me, please. Overwhelming?
Yeah.
Okay, good? All right.
Yes, oh my gosh.
Okay, this is the audience interaction portion. John Williams on the stage conducting the Obi-Wan Kenobi theme. Please tell me more.
Oh my gosh, the king returned on his 90th birthday. What a king. 90 solid years. What a guy. Oh my gosh. Is it amazing?
Yes. Oh my God. I'm so glad you guys are all living and could. Oh, it's sad.
Ooh. No spoilers though.
Wait, it's sad? I mean, I believe it, but like, oh no.
I mean,
no.
Obi-Wan's in his sad boy hours. He's living in a cave. He's not living a luxurious life. He's having nightmare after nightmare, and he just wakes up in a dark cave, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I got a beard. I got the same clothes I've worn for like 8 years and never take a shower. It's fine. And I... Yeah, you really should have, yeah.
Have you guys thought lately about the fact that like everyone Obi-Wan has ever loved is either dead or he thinks is dead?
Yeah. This is sad, Friends of the Force, actually. This is what you signed up for. I'm sorry.
Emotions of the Force.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right. All sorts of emotions.
Talking it out, you know, like having a
even the emotional damage is there. Yeah. So the Lucasfilm Showcase panel, we got the Andor trailer, which again just seems incredible. August 31st. Hold on your hats. It's gonna get sweaty. Yeah, it's gonna be amazing.
We'll be there, but not at Celebration. We'll just, you know, be in our houses watching it all alone again.
Soon enough.
So I'm glad that like there are some Kenobi things happening like today, and also, I mean, everyone's probably gonna be at their hotel rooms at midnight, like watching it, you know, hopefully with at least one other person and can have the excitement shared. But like, oh my gosh, is 2022 like the year? Like that things are like, like really good?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we like to call it the prequel renaissance.
Yeah.
Because it's all of our favorite things from the prequels becoming like the standard of Star Wars at this point. And like, it's just such a good time to see like all these characters coming back. And I just, oh my gosh, it's hard to believe.
Do you have a Kenobi theory?
A Kenobi theory?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, besides Corky Kenobi, I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Confirm Corky.
Yeah. You know, what was that? Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Kenobi definitely had a child at some point. Kenobi theories. So you're just meaning like in terms of like speculation.
Like, what do you think is going to happen in the show?
Like, oh, you interesting. Know,
we're literally like Qui-Gon.
Yes, yeah. Actually, that's a great one. There was a shot in a TV ad where he seemed to be like meditating in a room, and it seems like some sort of Yoda on Polos Massa energy, like Yoda communicating with Qui-Gon and learning that skill. And he tells Obi-Wan at the end of Revenge of the Sith, like, I'll teach you how to do this. So I would like to think that that sort of storyline would get continued into the show. And I know Liam Neeson's like, they couldn't pay me enough. They could. They're Disney. Of course they can. So I think he's going to show up. He's just great at PR because it's Liam Neeson, right? I mean, you're terrified of him, honestly. What about you? What are your Kenobi theories?
I'm with you with Qui-Gon. Like, I think that definitely could be a thing that's happening. I'm also wondering, like, Bail Organa?
Again, somehow Bail Organa has returned.
Perhaps.
Yeah, like, ooh.
A bonus Breha would be everything.
Yes. Yes.
To see both 100%. Of my parents, you know, like not just one of them.
Yeah, Satine.
Oh yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Cate Blanchett specifically, because I would cry. The only fan cast that matters to me.
But seriously, like I think what's so interesting about both Kenobi and Andor is like the political timeline that we're in. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Kenobi is going to be politics heavy. It's, you know, it's 6 episodes. I think it's going to be a really kind of intimate story that's kind of focused. But Andor, we saw some politics. We saw like an imperial kind of meeting room that was, you know, of course, stark white, because like they can't drink wine, they can't drink anything that's going to stain their clothes. Like, somebody's going to spill and it's going to be embarrassing for them, so they can't do that. But, you know, like, we saw that room, we saw the Galactic Senate, or I guess, yeah. I'm so here for the politics. Give me Bail Organa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we haven't really seen outside of Rebels, like, the beginning of the rebellion, right? And so I think it's interesting to go to this time period. I mean, I think a lot of focus has been on like the post Return of the Jedi time period, like with the Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett, which is great. That's a great time period. But there is also that area between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, besides Rogue One and Solo, that I think exploring more of that in a TV format would be really interesting. So I hope that, you know, Kenobi and Andor aren't the end of that. And I hope we get maybe some more stuff. And speaking of like more Return of the Jedi era stuff, we got announced the skeleton crew. Everybody hear about that? So it's a TV series starring Jude Law, the man. So we don't know. We don't know what it's about.
Did our friends learn a little bit more about this?
10-year-old kids. Okay, so maybe.
Oh, this is the John Watts.
Yeah, the John Watts series with Christopher Ford executive producing alongside him and Dave Filoni and Favreau. So maybe it could be some sort of Luke Jedi Temple if there's children, if we see like maybe a Luke sort of thing. I don't know. If I get a small Ben Solo, I won't complain, honestly. I'll hand more money over to the mouse.
I just had a realization that like one of my favorite books in the whole canon is Legends of Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole story of Legends of Luke Skywalker, we get the legends, right? Like throughout, and of course, Fishing in the Deluge. Peak Star Wars. I'm not joking. It's so good.
The Tide.
Read that book if you haven't, please. Ken Leo. But the whole thing that runs throughout that is that it's these like kids on a ship and they're telling these stories to each other. I'm not saying that these will be the same thing, but I like the vibe. I'm fascinated, and I would like those to be more similar than less similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I think originally there had been rumors about John Watts, and I think people were thinking of like a High Republic show potentially, which I thought
like
would be interesting.
Our Padawan babies.
Yeah, like Ram Jamaram. Who here reads the High Republic, by the way? Raise your hand. Yeah? Awesome. Panel after this at 3:00, we're booking it over there. We're ready. We're ready for some news.
Yeah, we can like all mosey down there together.
Yeah, which is ironic because we're such like a book-oriented podcast, and there's a publishing panel happening right now, so we don't even know what's getting announced.
Okay.
It could be a quirky Kenobi novel. Who knows? Bail Organa, the original story, get the inside look at his life as a teenager, an angsty teen.
Oh my gosh.
What do you think Bail Organa would be like as an angsty teenager? Like, is he in like the debate club? Is he like unbeatable in the debate club?
Is he would that be. Angsty though? Like, or is he like, I'm a straight A student and I'm going to college and things are gonna be good?
They can be straight A and angsty. I feel like he gets the mix of both.
I guess
you gotta have a little fire in you to start
true.
A rebellion, you know?
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Oh, man. Been there.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Now I want that book. Now I want it. I don't know. High Republic, though.
We'll see. Yeah. But yes, so Skeleton Crew could be really cool. It's exciting to see Jude Law, who was also in the Marvel franchise. So obviously he's in Captain Marvel. So it's interesting to see him now come over to Star Wars. They tend to borrow some of those actors, which is exciting. So
I'm just pulling up Del Rey
on Del
Twitter,
Rey, yeah, so.
In case they decide to announce anything while we're here.
Yeah. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. They're like,
she did that like little promo with Alden Ehrenreich.
Oh yeah. Let's talk about Padme Amidala for a minute.
You can tell that we planned this episode. This was one of our really big documents today.
The only it's not really a Google Doc. We went old school. We went analog with this, really.
Very High Republic.
Very
of
yeah,
us,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know.
Exactly, yeah. So Natalie Portman. So obviously we talk a lot about Ewan and Hayden and how it's their year, but like, are we forgetting that we're about to get Natalie Portman on a Love and Thunder press tour very shortly? And she's got biceps, she's holding the hammer.
Powerful
I mean, like,
arms.
Childhood crush is coming back full force. It's really brutal. But I'm excited to see her back in the mix, but will she appear in Kenobi? Or in a flashback?
Yes.
Yes?
Will
Who
she
else thinks it?
Will
Raise your
she
hand.
Appear in Kenobi? Will she appear in a flashback?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, I was...
Yes.
We're manifesting it, but I also respect the, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, we
young
could
Ahsoka.
Get a young Ahsoka.
I think that's like really quite possible.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I think that would be, because they're probably like doing de-aging on Hayden. So I wonder if they would like, you know, use Rosario or if they would not or hire a younger person or I don't know. I guess we have 6 weeks to find out. So
I think at the very least, we'll get a Clone Wars flashback, even just with Anakin and Obi-Wan in like their Clone Wars armor for the first time.
Yes.
With what?
Yeah,
Tamora could be back. Tamora's booked and busy. He could be in every show because he's like everywhere. He's Boba Fett, he's Cody, he's Rex. I mean, he's going to be in a lot of stuff too, so... that'll be exciting. I can't
I'm
get enough of Tamora.
I'm glad he's getting paid.
Yeah.
Continuously.
Yeah.
He deserves
Absolutely.
It.
We love Tamora Morrison here. And he's going to be at the panel tomorrow, most likely, the 20th anniversary. Who loves Attack of the Clones? Give it up.
Yes! Okay. So we were talking about Natalie a second ago.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman, please show up.
Yeah. We have two of them here. We just need the third for the trio.
The trio.
The sacred trio.
I know, it's like she...
She's close.
Show up, Natalie.
Natalie,
Portman.
Stop on by.
Like,
we'll pay
like,
for your Uber. Come on.
I think that would be it for me, like, as a person to see all three of them.
Yeah.
I don't know, like...
We may not come out of that panel alive.
This might be the last episode of Friends of
yeah.
the Force. First
Glad you were
in person.
All here. Yeah.
Right. First in person, last episode entirely. Thank you so much for joining us at Friends of the Force.
See, we already have a couple people leaving, so. You know.
They're trying to hit that Del Rey panel.
Yeah.
I know. Us too. So the podcast is over. Toodaloo. But oh my gosh, I'm hoping that they reveal something here in the first 20 minutes so we can gush about it. But I feel like since we've talked about. The 20th anniversary a little bit, we also have to talk about WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Just, we did Attack of the Clones last month, and we had four episodes all about our love for Attack of the Clones, and now there's a WrestleMania t-shirt. That's not us. That's Savannah. That's Savannah's doing. But like, what? all, have you guys seen the Celebration store merch
Pretty
and
cool.
all of the Attack of the Clones stuff? Like, they were thinking of us.
Yeah, they really are feeding us. And but I, also, I don't like sand towel. It's the anti-sand towel officially.
Anti-sand towel.
Which, if you go to the beach, you need an anti-sand towel, clearly. Okay. You got to pull all your books out. You don't want to get sand in your books when you're reading on the beach. Can't have that.
Especially that really expensive High Republic box set.
Yeah. Oh, man. $250. Keep me away from the store. But, yeah, I mean, Attack of the Clones, the 20th, is really special. Because, obviously, it was such a first for movies with digital cinema, which we talked a lot about on our episode. But getting it tomorrow, I wonder if, like, George Lucas could show up, potentially. That would be cool. Like, I know he kind of phoned in from a random restaurant video thing at the Phantom Menace panel 3 years ago. He's like, hey, I'm taking a selfie video. It's fine. I'm George Lucas. And super casual. But, I mean, Harrison's here. So, I mean, if Harrison's here, I never would have thought he would be back at a Celebration.
Yeah.
He was here today, yeah. He was at the showcase panel for Indy 5, which drops next July, June.
See, if they had put it on the stage, we could have all watched Harrison Ford walk out, you know? No, which is a bummer. I would have loved to see Harrison Ford's beautiful face. But I'm hoping that John Williams comes back tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What if he conducts Across the Stars in the panel? I don't want to get anybody's hopes up. I'm sorry. But again, these people are already here. Why not take advantage of it? Why not make me cry in front of thousands of people on the show floor?
You know,
although we're all crying together and it doesn't matter. So crying in public with other people is the way to go.
Yeah, especially at the Star Wars Celebration. We always care so much.
Where crying is allowed, yeah.
Yeah. Crying is allowed because the emotions are overwhelming and we've also slept maybe 3 hours in the past 2 days. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, could you tell?
It's really chaotic. I don't know what to get on. We haven't gotten any announcements yet.
I know. Well, let's talk about the High Republic for a bit. So, I'm super excited for Phase 2 of the High Republic. Who here has read like most or all of the books from Phase 1? Are you guys getting into it?
Would anybody be really upset if we
spoiled
it?
So good. So good. Well, we know we're getting the Acolyte. I don't know, was there any updates on the Acolyte from the showcase? No?
Okay. Weird.
Interesting. Under wraps, huh?
Okay.
Leslie Headland.
I guess I'll believe you guys if you're hiding Acolyte information from us.
Yeah, yeah. But the High Republic is so exciting because it's like that perfect blend of like prequels and like also tapping into what makes Star Wars special. So you're just getting it all like together in one, but also getting something new and fresh and like far away from the Skywalker saga, which, you know, we kind of need that fresh storytelling a little bit. We need new characters and new connections. And the Acolyte could be really cool because it's supposed to take place at the end of the High Republic, which like 50 years before the Phantom Menace. So I wonder like who the Acolyte is. It seems like there's some dark Sith sorcery going on in the Acolyte. So, you know, maybe we get a young Sheevy boy, Sheevy Palpatine. Played by Matt Smith, please.
Oh.
He's in Game of Thrones. He's coming back.
Oh, Matt Smith as Palpatine. Huh. Where have I heard that before?
No. Yeah, allegedly in The Rise of Skywalker. If you've seen the Matt Smith cut, let us know after the panel. Bob doesn't need to know, but that would be pretty cool if we got some, you know, we'll get like Yoda, we'll get some Wookiees. Chewbacca in the Acolyte would be a child, a little Chewy. Is he small? Like, how big is he? Is he that size? I don't know.
Just gonna hang on to my Wookiee.
This means a lot to Sarah. Big black Kersantan fan.
I love Kersantan. He's just so intimidating. I'm excited about the High Republic Phase 2. Because we won't have the uncertainty about Buryaga Uggaburi. It's fine. I'm coping. I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking. But I'm hoping that Phase 2 is slightly less of a tragedy than Phase 1 was.
Yeah.
And I think there's the potential for that because this next phase is all kind of about exploration. I think we're going to get more of the Santecas and the Graffs in this one. And I think that's going to be really exciting, and hopefully there's no fallen stars.
No more.
I love Claudia. I respect Claudia. I would do anything for Claudia Gray. However, that made me really sad. And they all planned it, so I guess we can blame all of them, but like, it was really sad.
Yeah. It's so funny how the way the High Republic was sold, because like, yeah, the Jedi, they're at the height of their power, it's their golden age, and everything goes to crap immediately. Like, crashing down literally from the sky, everything's on fire, good luck. And you're just, you go along with the ride because you just love Star Wars and you take the emotional damage as you can. So it's
Well, it's fine. Like, here are 75 characters, new characters to love. They've all got brilliant names and awesome costumes, and they have such cool relationships with other people, and they're all dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like them? Did you like them? Well, they're dead. So. Yeah, it was so nice to meet this cool Jedi, and we'll never get to see more from them.
No.
Except if we go back and get those teen novels. Give me Avar, Elzar, and Stellan at the, you know, like the Jedi Temple.
Yeah.
Like, I want that. I want to see all the shenanigans they get into, mm-hmm. because I feel like Stellan's just going to be like, oh, you guys. And Avar and Elzar are going to be like, we're 16. What are we supposed to do?
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah.
And we are getting a Padawan book. We're getting Padawan by Kirsten White, which is an Obi-Wan book. Takes place when he's a younger lad before Master and Apprentice. So I don't know if Qui-Gon will probably be in it. We just got Brotherhood. Anybody here read Brotherhood by Mike Chen?
Okay. Yeah. Mullet.
Really good.
The Mullet.
Asajj Ventress was in it. Like, yeah. Yeah. She's awesome. She's pretty cool. Oh man, I want to talk about Kenobi more. Can we talk about Kenobi more?
Well, I just want to say, like, I know that I'm a very, very, very early reader of Padawan, but I'm about 100 pages into Padawan. Like, get it on your pre-order list. Like,
yeah.
you're gonna want to read Padawan. Yeah. It's pretty good so far. I'm having a good time, so. Oh my gosh!
Ooh. Jimmy
Smith is in the building.
All right, well.
Are we having, like, a fire alarm?
All right.
Thank you, everyone,
so much
for coming.
Coming
to Friends of the Forest panel. Oh my gosh.
Well, we are home from Star Wars Celebration, so we can record this outro for you. But that was quite the abrupt ending, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, a little surprising there. What a way to end a podcast panel. I'm glad I got the fire alarm in there, as well as Jimmy Smith has entered the building, which is just a great one-liner to end on.
Right,
from one of our listeners.
Nobody told me that Jimmy Smith was in the building later for the Kenobi premiere, so I felt bamboozled the other day.
But maybe Jimmy Smith was the one who walked in there and pulled the fire alarm.
Honestly, maybe. I will say, though, the good news is that it's already funny. We just listened to it back and it's already funny. So that's good, because it wasn't funny when it happened.
So some added context here, probably, as you can get from the audio, is that we were doing our panel about 40 minutes in, the fire alarm goes off and we evacuate the room. And it turns out it was like a false alarm. By that point, the next podcast had taken over the room. People were in there seated. And, you know, that was it. That was it for us at Star Wars Celebration. So it was a little bit abrupt, not the way we wanted to end the panel necessarily, because we had a couple of other things planned, including some giveaways and a Q&A. But and there was also some audio that was lost along the way, about 5 minutes or so, just because of some tech difficulties. So you didn't miss much. I'm actually really happy we got like almost the full thing. But yeah, that happened. It's a story for the ages. We'll look back on it and laugh forever, honestly.
And more context as to why this fire alarm was just absolutely bonkers is it only happened on the second and third floor of the convention and not on floor one, which was the entire exhibit hall. So everybody from floors two and three is streaming down the escalators, like making an orderly kind of exit, but everybody on the first floor is just milling about. And so we're all like, is there something happening? Is there not something happening? We had no idea. So, yeah, a bit bummer to not be able to finish it out in the way that we intended, but we're really grateful that we can share it all with you here on the feed, whether you were able to make it and wanted to listen to that chaotic fire alarm again, or if you weren't. We're just so grateful to have you as listeners, and And we really didn't get the chance to express our gratitude at the end of the panel, but thank you for every single person who showed up to that panel. It meant the absolute world and then some. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being a friend, being a listener. It means the whole world to us. And it was incredible to know that people actually care a little bit about the little thing that we do as a hobby project. So thank you. I don't really have the words, but except for just thank you.
Yeah. I'm also like, thank you to Lucasfilm for considering us for this spot. And, mm-hmm. It's a privilege and an honor to be alongside so many other great podcasters, you know, Out of the Force, Star Wars Explained, Pink Milk, Sky Talkers, Talking Bay. I mean, there's just so many, that were included this weekend, and to think that like we were up there with them sharing that stage is such an honor. So, thank you for considering us for this, because it was a great opportunity, and like I was our first time recording together, and it went really south very quickly towards the end. We were just like, what's happening? But all in all, like, despite that little hiccup in the road, you know, we had our Denny's meetup later that night, and the rest of the weekend went swimmingly. Like, we had a really great rebound despite kind of a chaotic and oddball first day. So I was really happy with like the whole celebration overall.
Yeah. And thank you to everybody who came to Denny's too. Yeah. It was really, really special as well. And we're just very grateful. And also, Brad was mentioning all the other podcasts that were on the stage. Please go and seek those recordings and those podcasts out too, because, you know, we didn't have the opportunity to go to many of them just because how hectic our schedules were. And I bet that might be the same for you if you were also there. But there were so, so many incredible podcasts who I bet will also be reposting their recordings in the coming days. Go seek them out. Hear what they talked about. Support them too. Because honestly, when we all succeed, like when one of us succeeds, we all succeed. And it's really wonderful to be part of this community.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sarah, did you have any final words though on being a part of the podcast stage? Anything at all that comes to mind?
I'd love to do it again. If the opportunity ever arose, I'd love to get to finish it out cleanly and you know, be able to do all of that. It was a real privilege. It was exciting to like have that feedback, you know, of listeners and friends like sitting right in front of you, and to be sitting next to you, Brad. It was a real treat. So thanks for being my friend. Thanks for doing this with me. It was a blast. So
yeah. I'm really happy I didn't embarrass you up there. I tried not to. I hope I succeeded.
Well, maybe. I'm kidding.
I think the fire alarm had other thoughts. It was like, this shit needs to end right now. We need to get these fools out.
Yeah. Somebody was like, oh, this is not going well. But no, in all seriousness, it was a very silly ending to a very silly time. And I'm glad I'm laughing about it now.
Yeah. Well, like we said, the rest of the celebration did go really well, though. So we posted a ton of stuff across our socials. On Twitter, Instagram, where you can find Sarah and I, as well as the podcast. So definitely go check out all the cool stuff we were doing there. Lots of fun pictures. We met tons of friends, internet friends, IRL.
Of the Force.
Exactly. And while you're doing that, also make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening. So that makes sure that all of our future episodes pop right into your podcast feed. And if you'd be so kind to leave a rating and review, helps other folks find the podcast and choose to listen to the show, because we want more Friends of the Force.
Today, I just want to thank both our patrons who really do help to make this podcast happen, as well as just every single one of our listeners, whether this is the first time you're listening or this is the 1 billionth time you're listening. Thank you. Thank you. And I know that's just the sentiment I've got for this whole end here. It's just a very strong and kind thank you.
Absolutely. And it was such a pleasure to actually meet some of our patrons at Celebration. And hopefully we meet more of you in the future at other conventions or future celebrations. So, with that being said, we hope you all had an amazing Star Wars celebration this last weekend. Cheers to the next one, which is taking place in London. Hopefully we all make it there somehow. And until next time, everybody, may the Force be with you always.